Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like, in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
This is the Toronto Today podcast. I'm your host, Greg Brady.
All right. I was just doing this yesterday. I put this up on my X platform, but it involved mouthwash, not food. Had a little spicy food there after I played some golf with my parents, with my dad, and I saw some mouthwash. And my parents, I'm going to out them here. They don't check expiration dates on a lot of things. But 2% milk from March 2020, I wouldn't touch that. Mouthwash, I felt a little more confident. And I'm still feeling fine after having a swig of mouthwash from March of 2020. People told me there was alcohol in there as well. I didn't swallow it, but it holds because alcohol holds for that long. But what if best before dates are coming to an end? And what if it cut down on not just foodborne illnesses, but food waste? There's a new paper out that's got some stunning new data, and we want to talk to the person who was the lead author on the paper. Shadman Khan is a PhD candidate at the esteemed Mac University in the Hammer in Hamilton, Ontario, one of my favorite cities. And Shadman joins us now. It's great to have you on the show. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you for having me.
This is getting a ton of attention, isn't it? Let's talk about the genesis of the study before we talk about the study. What made you so intrigued by the idea of this and smarter packaging, saving money for consumers?
So when you look at the statistics around both foodborne illness and food waste, it's extremely staggering. So on a global scale, there's about 600 million cases of foodborne illness per year. And while a lot of times we hear these statistics and we think more towards developing countries, in Canada alone, we have about 4 million cases a year. And then when you think about like recalls and whatnot, we see them on the news. It's not getting better. Right now, we're averaging in 2024 about a food recall every other day. And then on the food waste front, about 40% of the food produced in Canada is actually thrown out. And a lot of that has to do with food that is perfectly good to eat, but just has expiry dates that aren't good indicators of food freshness. So our whole goal here has been developing a better alternative. So packaging that assesses the quality of food in real time to tell you if it's good to eat objectively.
Shadman, you found that we're way, well, I'll call it worse. We waste way more food per capita, not total, than both the United States and the United Kingdom. Do you have a good reason why we waste more food than they do?
I would say there's a lot of industry factors at play here. I think a part of it just has to do with, like, for example, population distribution in Canada, where we are very much concentrated within like these specific areas, for example, Southern Ontario. I think because of that, and then I think that's paired with a lot of consumer hesitancy and an over-reliance on expiry dates. So with the amount of food we produce, things being bought and then just being tossed out simply because it's one day past the expiry date, but the food in reality would have been good to eat for three or four more days.
What's a better way to package food that would prevent or at least limit the amount of food we throw out and the food that we would deem spoiled? What can we do differently?
So the main thing is the fact that we're not saying ignore best before dates and just eat food assuming that it's fine. Our alternative essentially is smart food packaging. So the idea here is that as opposed to just having a date printed on that, like the factory thinks is accurate, we've developed various tests that can be embedded within packaging, and they're very simple to use. So right now we're shifting towards visual signals. So the idea of like if you could picture a purple patch on your packaged fish product, as it expires, it slowly transitions to blue. And then once it's essentially blue, you know that the fish is no longer good to eat.
That's incredible. So the color changes over the amount of time, and it goes from basically safe to unsafe. It's a bit of a warning for consumers instead of some arbitrary date.
Exactly. And like the big thing there also is that with a lot of the developers in this space, we're trying to make it as simple and objective for the consumer as possible. So there have been a lot of efforts towards developing in-app connectivity. So the idea is, you know, how blue is too blue type thing. You would be able to essentially use a smartphone app to scan the colored patch, and it would quantify the amount of color change and give you an objective, oh, it's fresh, it's getting close to expiry versus it is expired, don't need.
Shabman Khan's our guest, a PhD candidate at McMaster University. We're talking about a paper documenting the idea that new smart packaging tests for foodborne bacteria would be a better idea than best before dates. And I think talking to anybody, I'm born in the 1970s, Shabman, and I'm telling you, when I listen to you lay out how we can utilize technology and the cost is not that distinct, we've just been doing when in doubt, throw it out. And, oh, it's April 19th. This expired on April 17th. It's no good anymore. We've been doing this for like 70 years for food. Surely, to your point, we can do better in terms of technology and save more food.
Exactly. And I think one of the biggest barriers, which we really tried to highlight in the study, is the fact that there isn't synchronization between the stakeholders. So food insecurity, food prices are so high right now. So for consumers, they obviously don't want to pay more. For government regulators, if they start telling producers, start using these systems, producers might push up prices extensively. And then producers aren't really incentivized because right now, food waste isn't necessarily their biggest concern if at the end of the day, the bottom line isn't necessarily struggling. So what we're talking about is kind of creating, what we've tried to create is essentially a consortium where we work with government regulators, we work with industry partners, and we're trying to get everyone on the same page.
I think it's fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for the time today. I'd love to talk more about it down the line. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I think this is really something that could change things. Sometimes, by the way, the more you hear about it and when you hear him put it into words, I read the article and I'm like, yeah, I know, but we've been pretty comfortable with best before dates. But you're talking about saving money. You're talking about saving food. And we already know what we throw out. All it takes, work at a restaurant. I noticed that the first week I worked at a restaurant in 1988, through no fault of the restaurant, how much food goes out. And there's just stuff you make it one day. There's no way you can save it. Or that's because you would want to save it if you could, if you're a restaurant. We'd all want to save money and eat more. The question is, and this gets into big grocery, into their kitchen a little bit. Are they happy that you have to throw food out? Yeah, I'd make the case they are. I'm even just looking last night at three bags of milk going, well, May 7th, I don't want that. That's today, as a matter of fact. So I would have bought it last night, and we would have been fine for a few days after that. But let me buy the May 12th instead. So what happens to that May 7th? Certainly, households toss out all this food. If you have a standalone freezer, you think about it constantly on a regular basis for that being the case.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Today podcast. We drop the highlights of The Daily Show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. Don't forget, you can hear the entire show on the radio, at home, on your smart speaker. Ask Alexa or say, hey, Google, play 640 Toronto or Toronto Today. You can hear us on between 5:30 and 9 weekdays on 640 Toronto. Have a great day.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.